paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode. Hello everyone, and welcome to our second dark minisode of season 24. As always, first and foremost, a big thank you for everyone who submitted their experiences for this season. It's not just a record, it's beyond a record. We could arguably stop submissions now and keep going for about five seasons. But that does not mean I want you to stop sending your submissions in, because your submission may end up still on this season. And yes, I've just said we have well over 50 submissions of full episode length, but as always, we're a fluid show, and the right submission will and has found its way onto a new season each and every season that we've done the show. And that doesn't just go for your main experiences for the main show. We want, in fact, we love your shorter experiences. For me personally, I revel in the shorter experience. There's something I can't put my finger on about the authenticity they seem to carry that just keeps me so intrigued in what I'm reading. And although we no longer use this saying on Dark Bites for our Patreons anymore, it's still very apt. The length of your paranormal experience is in no way indicative of how truthful nor how terrifying that experience was for you. And that's the motto we stand by when we say, if you're debating sending something in, read that back to yourself. And if you think and you know it was a terrifying experience, we all want to know about it. And it may end up on Dark Bites, or it may end up on a minisode like today. Of course, our patrons received this episode both early and ad-free by being a Patreon. Now, all the details on becoming a patron, along with the additional perks like two shows per week, are in the show notes, so go down there and take a look. We are giving away a free week trial of the highest tier, and if that's of interest, go down there and click on the relevant links. But right now, it's that time of the week where I ask you to find some time for yourself. Make a nice warm drink, go and find somewhere relaxing to sit down, and join me for this week's dark minisode. Which, this week, has come to us from someone who wishes to remain anonymous but has changed the names and details of people and places within their experience. And so their email begins. I want to say up front, I'm a skeptic by nature. I work in data analysis and I believe in things I can measure. So when I tell you what happened in the 18 months after I moved to Harrowfield, I need you to understand that every word of this I type costs me something. What, I don't know. I'd taken a job transfer, a new city, fresh start, the whole cliché. The apartment was on the third floor of a converted warehouse, a very gentrified area that was once derelict. All exposed brick, tall windows, the kind of place that looks beautiful until October, when the coldness of outside somehow manages to penetrate the 3 feet thick brick walls. Not just that, but, and I really don't like putting this down, but there was an unease about the place. I just didn't feel myself. I was on edge, and I know it wasn't down to my work. I told myself the unease was just the loneliness of starting over somewhere new. It took me a while to understand it wasn't. My colleague, who I'll call Bex, brought a housewarming gift a few weeks in. She'd found it at a flea market. A small carved figure, dark soapstone, I think, no taller than a wine bottle, abstract enough that you couldn't say with certainty what it depicted. But she thought it had character and, to quote, was me. I agreed, even if I didn't agree. I placed it on the windowsill in the main room, where the morning light would catch it, and I went to sleep that night feeling, for the first time, actually at home in the apartment. The first strange thing was small. I noticed it when I'd been going through photos on my phone. I'd been documenting the place for a friend who was curious about the conversion. In one image, taken in the main room, the figure was on the windowsill where I'd placed it. And in the next photo, taken from the same position, not seconds later, it was on the shelf across the room. It wasn't. I'd been in the apartment the entire time. But I'd taken these photos well over a month ago, and I assumed I was misremembering. I must have picked it up and placed it on the shelf, perhaps thinking it made the place look bigger with that second photograph. And as I said, I was rational. I needed logic. And the sight of these two photographs stirred something in me I just simply didn't like. And in my mind, if they remained on my phone, this feeling would remain. And knowing how I deal with such things, it would only grow. So I deleted both photos and I tried to think no more of it. And when I say I tried to think no more of it, I do mean that. Until I started noticing things in other photos. Nothing dramatic, just wrong. A reflection in the kitchen window showing the room with the overhead light on when it wasn't. A mirror in the hallway catching what appeared to be a chair in a position it wasn't in when the photo was taken. The kind of thing that makes you stare at your screen too long, zooming in, zooming out, trying to be rational, trying to find the explanation that should be there. In the end, I stopped taking photographs inside the apartment. And this worked for a while, plus my own actual work was getting far more busier than I intended. So I was working late nights, going to sleep, waking, showering, going back to work, rinse, repeat. I didn't have time for anything paranormal, and in truth, had a ghost appeared, I probably would have told it to F off. But it was when other people started to mention things that visceral fear I mentioned earlier started to grow exponentially. Okay, guys, I need to talk to you about money. Why? Well, it's high on my agenda at the moment as I'm looking to move not just house, but country. So I have a money goal that I'm really striving to achieve. And let's just say, to say I've got some way to go is an understatement. But I'm trying not to fixate on where my money is now, because so many people are focused on where their money is today. Acorns is the financial wellness app that cares about where your money's going tomorrow. And something I think is wonderful that Acorns have is the Acorns Potential Screen, so you can find out what your money is capable of. You guys know I've worked with Acorns for a while, and the reason I love working with them is because they take away the scare factor from investing. But in reality, investment and investing should mean the same for one person as it does for the next. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. It's easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns is an all-in-one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who've already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Paid on client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. It was my, at the time, closest friend, Stacy, who'd came to stay for the weekend. She arrived Friday, and she left Saturday morning. She said the place gave her a headache, and she left it at that. Which wasn't like her at all. In fact, out of our entire group, she is the spiritual one. She is the ghost story teller. She's the one I would have expected would have been all over anything sinister at my new apartment. But apparently, tales and reality are two very different things. And Stacy just rubbed her head, packed her bag, and left. She was out of there so quickly, she didn't even seem to realize just how flimsy the excuse was. A headache is a flimsy excuse for a night out. A headache is a flimsy excuse to not go out with friends. But a headache to call time on a two-night trip seems a bit excessive. But this didn't seem to register with her. She just wanted out. I don't even think she made eye contact with me that morning. Because if she would have, she would have seen my half smile as if to say, "What aren't you telling me?" Well, whatever she wasn't telling me, she never did. Then there was a man I'd been seeing. Things had been easy between us up until that point. He started picking fights over nothing whenever he visited. We'd argue about things that would dissolve the moment we'd step outside. We'd stand on the pavement looking at each other, wondering what had just happened. Then my sleep deteriorated, and I began to feel, at the edge of every room, something or someone was stood just outside my field of vision. Yes, I know how cliche and cringe that sounds, believe me. But also, believe me. The night that changed everything, I was sat alone with a glass of wine, not looking at my phone, not watching anything, just sitting. And I became aware the figure had moved again. It was now on the floor, facing the wall, in the far corner of the room. I hadn't touched it, and I would by no means place it there if I had. The windows were closed. There was no logical mechanism by which a solid object would be relocating itself around the room. I sat very still for a long, long time. Then I got up, I walked over to it, and looked at the face. What I'd always assumed was an abstract impression, smooth and ambiguous, wasn't ambiguous. It was looking at that corner, at something specific in the corner. It had an expression, if you could call it that. One which seemed focused, like a dog watching a gap under a door. The next morning I phoned Bex and I told her everything. Now, interestingly, she went quiet in a way that told me she wasn't entirely surprised. She said the person she bought it from in the flea market had herself pulled a ooh face. What that means, I don't quite know, but she hadn't mentioned that initially. She tried to do some version of an elaboration about the object and why it was special and why she purchased it for me. I didn't need her to elaborate. I'm not big on this spiritual side of things. I enjoy the stories, but I don't really believe. So that afternoon, I took the figure, I wrapped it in a carrier bag, and I took it into the back garden of the building. I found a ceramic pot I no longer needed, placed the figure inside with rolled newspaper, and I burnt it. It took rather longer than I expected to have burnt it. Literally, I burnt it in the afternoon, and it was still burning when it was dark. And the smoke was darker than I expected from soapstone and paper. In the end, I turned away. I waited until there was nothing left but grey dust. Then I buried that pot in the corner of the garden, and I didn't look back. Stacy came back the following weekend, and she never said a thing. As you do when you receive a gift that's meant to be out on display, you make a big song and dance, and you point at it and show the person who gave it to you how splendid it looks in that position. She could clearly see it was no longer there, but didn't mention a word. The man I'd been seeing, well, that didn't work out either. Too much had been said in those heated moments. But even with the arguments out of the way, we decided we would end it with kindness on neutral ground, which itself felt like its own kind of grace. But what stays with me isn't what I saw. It's what the figure may have been looking at in that corner. Because I never could bring myself to cross the room and look at the same angle. This is the part that I almost laugh at myself for doing, or should I say, not doing. I picked that figure up and I studied it to see where it was looking. And even though I felt relatively calm at the time, it's only in hindsight have I realized I didn't want to look where it was looking. And I find that fascinating. And yes, you could call it egotistical to find something about yourself fascinating, but what I mean is to look back at yourself and realize you consciously or subconsciously were not doing something because you knew you would be scared. And I think, and you have mentioned this before, sometimes skeptical people, like me, simply don't want evidence. Because were that logical, if evidence is there, a whole new area, a whole new map of the undiscovered is there to be studied. And capacity-wise, I for one don't have it. Now, I never thought in my life I would say, or should I say type, these words. But to close my experience, I do actually believe two things. One, I think that object was meant to find me. Two, I think that object had been alone for a long time. And in some weird way, it knew I was lonely too. Now, I could go on about how it influenced Bex to purchase her, etc. Sorry, I've just stopped myself typing. I subconsciously typed her. The space between my last sentence and what you're reading now is about four times the length of time it's taken me to write my experience. Because I want to know why I jumped to her for something I found ambiguous, strange, and, well, not human. And once again, I have that strange, visceral fear that I do not like one bit. I didn't intend to sign off this experience with a scare for myself, but that looks like what I've got. Best wishes, Anonymous. Now, this is Kev speaking now. I have asked Anonymous if they do have any of the photographs about the changed furniture, the movement of any objects, etc., and I'm waiting on a response. Should I get those, I'm going to ask if I can share them with you guys. And let's hope it's a yes, because I've read that story before, obviously. But when I read it then, I kind of visualize things as I'm going to try and give a better reading for you guys, the listeners. And reading it the second time out loud has given me a brand new appreciation for just how good that experience is. So Anonymous, thank you. And thank you all for joining me on this week's minisode. I'll speak to you again on Friday for our next installment of The Dark Paranormal. And until then, stay safe and take care.